Blog Talk Radio.
Who dreamt of acting in plays, demonstration with a man, had her trapped in a maze, trying to find herself again, much of that she gave. Love can free us, too, with some reacting to slaves. Funny, we love her more when they relax in a grave. Wonder if a thug is raw, is he acting afraid? Everybody loves somebody.
Tools or whether you use
paperback tools. Make sure you have your Bible. And I like to use the King James Version, and at times I may, you know, use another version. Make sure that you have your concordance handy as well. And today is the sixth week of this series. And, you know, I have to say that I'm grateful to Yahweh for all that he has been merciful to show me during this time and to really help me understand certain things. And hopefully I was able to, I have been able to articulate them in a way in which he is pleased, and that our brothers and sisters who tune in at some point or may come across this lesson, that Yahweh's words would reach them through that way. You know, the funny thing about this 6 weeks is that Abba really didn't give me a particular format. He didn't say, you know, do this or do that. Well, then again, I'm lying, because he did. But he gave it at his time. Because normally, you know, how this should work is, you know, our leader, he's a planner. He likes to know things ahead of time. He don't want things coming to him at the last minute. You know, one of the things I try to be cognizant of that and be aware that, you know, when it is time to come up and represent Yahweh, that, you know, I make sure I share with him, and, you know, he knows which direction that it's going in, at least a rough outline of the thoughts that I have, you know. But this time, you know, I'll be honest, I didn't have any thoughts, you know. And we were talking one day, you know, and he put in the request, so I was aware of the time coming up for me to teach, and, you know, he gave me the reminder the week prior. And he said, "What you got?" And I said, "Love is." You know, and just leave it at that. Love is. And actually, the mindset was to come from, you know, Corinthians 13 and talk about, you know, the love chapter and all that sort of stuff. But Yahweh said, "Hold off on that. Man. You know, put your thought on ice for a second and hear my voice." And the thing about it is, I agonize. What do you want me to talk about? What do you want to talk about? Give me some Abba. Give me some Abba. Give me some Abba. Give me some Abba. Give me some God. Give me. And sometimes he waits until I sit down, shut up, and be still, and then he'll say, "Here you go." But this morning, for some reason, and I've been having a lot of restless nights, thinking about life, and in particular, you know, death and the time of the, you know, the larger mind. You know, I've been thinking about that a lot lately, and I shared that with my brother. It's been, you know, heavy on my mind. And so funny, because when it gets to that point, he sends a scripture to comfort me. So I was in the midst of a dream this morning. He woke me up 4 o'clock on the dot. So I'm a little sleepy, I'm not gonna lie. Even on the way over here, I'm like this, and I was like, "Why didn't you let me sleep? You know, I don't like to sleep in service. You get called out that way if you fall asleep in service. I don't want to be that one. Not twice in one lifetime." So, but he woke me up and he gave me a message. First, he shared a dream with me. I'm going to share with the, you know, with the brothers after service. Sorry, whoever's listening. I know, especially if one brother listens, you want to know what the dream is about. But the two brothers that were in the dream with me, you know, in the room now, and I'm going to, you know, share with them afterwards. And I don't think it was a bad dream, at least not for the other brothers involved, maybe from my perspective. But, you know, nevertheless, I think it's something Abba wants me to share. He literally woke me up at 4 o'clock on the dot this morning. But that's when he gave me the lesson. Because I was going to close out, because I wanted to start out with, you know, Corinthians 13, the love chapter. And I wanted to end with Corinthians 13, the love chapter. But in between that, he said, no. And he wanted to start off with this very basic scripture. And the sad part about it is it's almost become a cliche amongst the religious community or just a saying, you know. And it's St. John 3:16, "For Yah so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him will not perish but have everlasting life." But Abba wants us in particular in the house of Yahweh to know that. And he shared with me something this morning, because the last thing I thought I would be reading on the last day was from the book of Hebrews. But in the book of Hebrews, the writer, you know, illustrates some serious stuff in that book. And he literally had me, and it was like crazy because it was like I'm reading through, you know, basically a whole book this morning. It's like, whoa, whoa, whoa. And this book, written to the Ibrit, to those who call themselves or who consider themselves to be Hebrews, this one particular book in this testament has been given to them because there is a thing that they are struggling with. And the sad part about it is based on reading this book, this is something the Hebrews have been struggling with at this point in our history, some 2,000 plus years. This is something that which is was given to them, which was supposed to be an honor for them, which was supposed to be the not just the icing on the cake, but let's say we had the banana, what they call them when you go to the ice cream store, you know, the banana sundae with a banana split, and you get the three, you get the banana split, you get the three ice creams that you want, you get the nuts, you get the whipped cream, and then that's good, and then just before you finish, you put the cherries on top of that, and this would be the little extra sauce or whatever you like to have on yours. That's what this was supposed to be for the Hebrews. The coming and the reality of Yahushua was supposed to solidify in all people who consider themselves to be associated with the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. His coming was supposed to be the most glorious event to take place in world history. But the sad part about it is they miss it. They missed it then. They are missing it now. And sadly, until he returns, many of them will continue to miss it. But the thing about it is when you read in the Hebrews, not only do some of us miss it now, our forefathers missed it 2,000 plus years before Yahushua came. And this is something that Yahweh has been working with our ancestors now for almost the entire time of the existence of this creation.
Amen.
From day one until now, this is the one thing he has really been trying to help people realize and understand and come into a reality that he gave us something to defeat this deal we made with death. Because Adam and Eve made a deal with death. They courted death and invited death into this reality. And we're going to see that based on what he said to the Hebrews. So, let's get to it. Hebrews 1:1, he says, Yah, who at sundry times and in diverse manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets. Let's pause right here. So from Abraham, who was considered to be the first prophet, all the way on down to this day and age, the modern men who speak on behalf of Yahweh, he is saying Yahweh has been speaking to them forever. Forever he's been speaking to our ancestors, right?
Man.
Hebrews 1:2. Hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir over all things, by whom also he made the worlds, who being the brightness, 1:3, of his glory, and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. Hebrews 1:4. This is the part that really bakes the noodles of a lot of people. Being made so much better than the angels, as he has by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. So, Michael, Gabriel, and all the other angels that may be named throughout scriptures, but we primarily hear about Michael and we hear about Gabriel.
Right.
their names do not compare to the name of this entity. Do we understand that?
Right.
So if he's saying this, then how could it be that some people struggle with the fact that this is different, this entity is different than Michael the Archangel? Because Michael is an angel, and he's saying the name that this entity has is above all of them.
Right.
But why? Out of all the names that you can think of, that whether it's been in the apocryphal books, hidden books, secret books that come across, what do the angels' names, especially the archangels' names, end in? But they end in
L.
But hold up. He's got an entity whose name, which now, because human beings can name their child any name that they want, has a name that is associated with Yah. 1:5. For unto which, back to 1:4, being made so much better than the angels, as he hath by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they, 1:5, for unto which of the angels said he at any time, thou art my son? This day have I begotten thee. And again, I will be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son. And again, 1:6, when he bringeth in the first begotten into the world, he saith, and let all the angels of Yah worship him. And of the angels he saith, who maketh his angels spirits, and his ministers a flame of fire, but unto the Son, thy throne, O Yah, is forever and ever, a scepter of righteousness, the scepter of thy kingdom. Thou hast loved righteousness and hated iniquity. Therefore, Yah, thy power hath anointed thee with the oil of gladness above thy fellows. And he's talking about not just fellows in this realm, but fellows in that realm. He's giving him whatever he gave him because of his obedience, because of his worthiness. He gave him something that no other entity possesses. Not angel, not human. Nothing possesses this other than him. But we going on. We going on because he's going to mention him by name. So back to 1:9. Thou hast loved righteousness and hated iniquity. Therefore, so what's that? Oh, Elohim, thy power hath anointed thee with oil of gladness above thy fellows. And thou, Master, in the beginning hath laid the foundation of the earth. And the heavens are the works of thine hands, they shall perish. Now think back to what John recognized about the Messiah. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was made flesh. Think, go back and read John 1. He breaks it all down for him. And I think to some regards, I don't know who they try to say the author of this book was, but with the understanding that we know that John had, who could make a better argument to the Hebrews than for it to be John? Possibly Paul. But whoever got this had eyewitness testimony of who he was. Okay. Back to 1:10. And thou, Master, in the beginning hath laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the work of thine hands. They shall perish, but thou remainest. And they all shall wax old as doth a garment. So he's letting us know from now what we understand in the book of Revelation. Even when Yahushua says, heaven and earth, they're going to pass away. He's letting you know these things are only temporary. And at some point, the way we take off old clothes and put on new clothes is what he's saying right here. They're going to fulfill their purpose. And after they fulfill their purpose, we're going to get something new. Back to 1:11, they shall perish, but thou remainest. But he's saying, for him, ain't nothing changing. With him, not just that, but he is eternal. And they shall wax old as doth garment. And as a vesture shalt thou fold them up, and they shall be changed. But thou art the same, and thy years shall not fail. But to which of the angels said he at any time, sit on my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool? Are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for them who shall be heirs of salvation? back onto two. And see, the thing is, they separate this stuff into chapters, but actually they're all one thought.
Amen.
Okay, so we're in chapter 2:1, but it still stays with the same thought.
Amen.
Therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. Hebrews 2:2. For if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience receives a just recompense for reward, how should we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to speak by the mighty, by Yahweh, and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him? 2:4. Yah also bearing witness both the signs and wonders with diverse miracles and gifts of the Holy Spirit according to his own will. So what is he saying right here? He is letting us know that these things that took place during the time or the lifetime of Yahushua, the lifetime of the Savior, that no one else was doing these things. No one else could do these things. That there were very distinct things that even though maybe some of the prophets may have done them, but there were other things. And remember, the scriptures account and say there were things that couldn't even be recorded in books that he was doing out there. That means that every day, every hour of the day, minute by minute, he was doing something that was always a testimony to the power that was uniquely given to him. And unfortunately, why do the heathen rage, and why do they conspire a vain thing? You know, they conspire to hide what Yahushua has done.
Amen.
But the thing about it is Yahweh is merciful to let us have these little tidbits to bear witness to us that he did come, that he exists, that he existed and still exists, that he lived on earth at one point and is gone. But the things that he did were left as a witness, and these witnesses wrote down just enough to give us enough information so that the faithful have a testimony to believe in. Back to 2:3, Hebrews 2:3. So he says, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Master and was confirmed by us unto him that heard it? Yah also bearing witness, both with signs and wonders and with diverse miracles and gifts of the Ruach HaKodesh according to his own will. Hebrews 2:5. For unto the angels he hath not put in subjection the world to come, whereof we speak. But one in a certain place testified, saying, what is man that thou art mindful of him? Or the son of man that thou visitest him? Hebrews 2:7. Thou madest him a little lower than the angels. Thou crowned him with the glory and honor, and didst set him over all the works of thy hands. Now, he's talking about literal man. Because remember, when he made Adam, he told Adam, you're going to have dominion over this. As long as he was obedient, Adam had dominion over it. To the point where Yahweh came and said to Adam, Adam, what is this creature called? Adam, what is this thing called? Adam, what is this called? Adam, I just made this thing. I took it out of you. What you going to call it? And he said, life. That's what I'm going to call it. Okay. So before they made the deal with death and the devil, he's saying man was made to have dominion over all of this. And even in our very fallen state, in our base state, guess what? We still have dominion over it. So much so that a man can decide to burn up what they call the lungs of the planet. He don't care about what they're doing now to the rainforest. So Yahweh's even giving man the ability to destroy it if he wants to, something he cannot create, something he cannot give back. That's what Yahweh has given man the power to do.
Amen.
While he sits back in his throne and just shakes his head like, wow. You mean y'all don't even want to breathe air? Y'all don't even want to breathe air? The people are telling you that, and it's even shaped like a lung when you kind of look at it. Y'all going to burn up the thing that's actually helping sustain life.
Amen.
But, okay. Anyway, back to that. Thou madest him 2:7, a little lower than the angels. Thou crownest him with glory and honor, and didst set him over the works of thy hand. Thou hast put all things in subjection under his feet. For in that he put all in subjection under him, he left nothing that is not put under him. But now we see not yet all things are put under him. But we see Hebrews 2:9, Yahushua, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death. So see, he made man, and then he made his son and to come down as man, so now that his son can do what? Not rule, not have dominion, but to suffer this thing called death. Why? And he didn't even make this deal. His created creature made this deal with death. But now, the mercy and the love that he has for us, guess what? He says, you know what? I'm going to come down in the flesh, and I'm going to suffer, and I'm going to experience this thing. So now, and we're going to see why, but we see Yahushua, Hebrews 2:9, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of Yah, should taste death for every man. And when I read that, I wasn't afraid to die, because my mind was distressed. I woke up, I gotta die. One day I'm gonna die. When am I gonna die? But he said he did it. So if he did it so that he could experience death, why should I fear death as long as I die in him? 2:10. For it became him, for whom are all things, about whom are all things, in bringing many sons unto glory, to make the captains of their salvation perfect through suffering. The ultimate suffering. Not only did he take the beating for us, after taking the beating for us, he allowed himself to experience the absence of life from a body. So then that way he could do something for us. And it's going to play out some more. 2:11. For both he that sanctifies and they who are sanctified are all of one, for which cause he is not ashamed to call them brethren, saying, I will declare thy name unto my brethren. In the midst of the congregation, says church, will I sing praise unto thee. And again, I will put my trust in him. And again, behold, I and the children which Yah hath given me, for as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil, the adversary, the evil one. 2:15, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. For verily he took not on him the nature of angels, but he took on him the seed of Abraham. So he didn't come down. He could have done this work a different way, is what it's saying. He could have came down as an angel. He has the power to destroy all. All the angels in which he was a part of creating. He can destroy that. He could pull the plug on them anytime he wants to. He could have came down as an angel. But you know what he wants to show us? Humility and love and kindness and gentleness. Because even towards them, guess what? He's showing those angels, those evil, he's showing the devil mercy every day that he is allowed to do what he is doing. But we're going to read on. For verily, back to 2:16, he took on him the nature of angels, but he took on him the seed of Abraham. 2:17, wherefore in all things it behooved him to be made like unto his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in all things pertaining to Yah, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. For in that he himself hath suffered being tempted, he is able to succor them that are tempted. And if y'all know what the term succor means? Comfort. He's able to comfort them. As a matter of fact, let's look it up. Because one of the things the writer of Hebrews wants us to understand, that we worship a God who totally understands everything that we go through. And this is something that I was going through, feeling like, no, he don't. No, he doesn't. And each one of these lessons, I'll be honest, I'm going to be real selfish. They were for me. This is what I was struggling with.
Man.
God, Yahweh, do you love me? Yahweh, do you love me? why did you allow these things that plagued me and troubled me to happen in my life? Tommy, I told you. I sent messengers along the way. But did you listen? Your brothers told you? Your elders told you? Your sisters told you? Did you listen? No, you didn't listen. So guess what? You get recompense for your actions. Didn't he say that early in the scripture? He is merciful, but he is not going to absolve us from the sins that we commit, even when we know better. Especially, rather, when we know better. Suka, let's just look at that word real quick. To sukua. Sorry, sukua. And it's in the Greek section, and it means to help. It's in the Greek section, 997, and the Greek term is bothio, and it's to aid, to relieve, to help, and in some ways to comfort, to help, to succor, to bring aid to. So when the scriptures say, for in that he himself hath suffered being tempted, he is able to help them that are tempted. So that's why when the scriptures say, when you say you're tempted, don't say you're tempted of Yah, because that's not his job to tempt you. His job is to tempt, to help you through that temptation, because he himself was tempted of. And guess what? When we have that, as the old edge goes, we have that good entity on this side, that bad entity on this side. Guess what? They're both fighting for our attention. Right. But the thing about it is, we do this. If we want to do good, we start hearing this. We tilt our head this way. Right, do the right thing. But that thing doesn't stop yelling. No, listen to me. Do what I tell you to do. And then you have to make a choice. He said, I set before you life and war. I choose you this day which one you want. And if you choose death, guess what? He's going to give you death. Guess what? Because our ancestors, our big mommy and big daddy chose death. So now they chose it. Now we have the ability from learning that lesson and what it has cost us, because we know the wages of sin is death. We know what death, we know what disobedience brings us.
Amen.
Because of what it brought to them. So no one in all humanity, and this is the one quote-unquote book, as they say, the Bible that's translated into all languages. The moment you read the story of Adam and Eve and the fact that they did what they did and they were disobedient, guess what? Nobody else has an excuse after that. No one else. No matter what language you speak in, it's translated, you can read it, and you can find, and even beyond that, guess what? It's told out in movies, it's told out in coloring books, it's told for all the world to see, right. And people either believe it or they don't. Okay. On to chapter 3. Wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our profession, Yahushua HaMashiach. What does it mean to be an apostle? Simply one who's been sent out.
Amen.
And when you look at the where the term in Hebrew comes from, it means, like, if we look out there at those trees and you see the branch, you see the main trunk and you see the branches, that's literally what it means in Hebrew to be an apostle, something that shoots out of the main branch, and a high priest of our profession. What does he mean by profession in this particular verse? Well, let's look it up. It's in the Greek section 3671, and the term is homologia, or acknowledgement, profession, confession. Subjectly, whom we profess to be ours. So when you call yourself a believer in Yahushua, that means you are professing that he is your Savior, that he is your Lord, that he is your Master. Wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly call, consider the apostle and high priest of our profession, Yahushua HaMashiach, who was faithful to him that appointed him, as also Moses was faithful in all his house. So when we think about Moshe, when we think about the life of Moshe, what is the one thing that comes to mind with Moshe? Well, once he was always in Yahweh's face. That's the one thing for sure. And anytime any situation came upon him, he got on his knees and he went to Yahweh. And there were times that he pleaded and made intercession on behalf of the children of Israel for Yahweh. And we're going to see one example in particular.
Amen.
Hebrews 3:2, who was faithful to him that appointed him. He's talking about Yahushua there. And he's saying, as also Moshe was faithful in all his house. For this man was counted worthy of more glory than Moshe, inasmuch as he who hath builded the house had more honor than the house. Do we see what he's saying there? What's that, Aki?
No,
okay, 3:4. For every house is builded by some man, but he that builds all things is Yah. And Moshe verily was faithful in all his house as a servant for a testimony of those things which were to be spoken of. But Moshiach as a son over his own house, whose house are we? If we hold fast the confidence and the rejoicing of the hope, firm unto the end. 3:7. Wherefore, as the Holy Spirit saith, today, if you will hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as in Meribah, as the day of Messiah in the wilderness. All right. Wherefore, as the Holy Spirit saith, today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts, as in the provocation in the day of the temptation in the wilderness, when your fathers tempted me, proved me, and saw my works 40 years. Wherefore I was grieved with that generation and say, they do err in their heart. They have not known my ways. So I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter into my rest. Take heed, brethren, lest there be any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living Elohim. What is he saying? He's letting us know that there are a lot of people who are struggling with this belief in Yahushua, and we're going to see that. Take heed, brethren, 3:12, lest there be any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living Elohim, but exhort one another daily. And what does that term exhort mean? Call up to be, as a matter of fact, I'm not going to go off of memory. I'm going to go right off of what the words say. He says to exhort your brothers daily. Let's look it up. It's the Greek. Parakaleo. It's 38:7 in the Greek. Amen. To call near. That is invite, invoke by imploration, hortation or consolation, beseech, call for, be of good comfort, desire, give, exhort, exhortation, entreat, pray. Yeah. To call to one side, call for summon, to address, to call to, call upon, which may be done in a way of exhortation, entreaty, comfort, instruction, to admonish, to exhort, to beg, to entreat, to beseech, to strive, to appease by entreaty. What does that mean, to strive to appease by entreaty? Well, basically it means, David said in the Psalms, seek peace and pursue it. See, when you think about all what Yahushua said, that this is how all men shall know that ye are my disciples, that ye shall love one towards another. But guess what? There was a time when he had to rebuke a brother, and there was a time he had to rebuke another brother. See what I'm saying? But what he's saying is, not for the sake of not showing the brother love, but sometimes you have to go back and forth with a brother in order to bring that closeness to that brother, or bring that healing to a brother, to console, to see, to encourage and strengthen by consolation, to comfort, to receive consolation, be comforted, to encourage, strengthen, exhortation and comforting and encouraging, to instruct and to teach. So all of that is what he's saying right here.
Amen.
When he says, but exhort one another daily while it is called today. But exhort one another daily while it is called today. Lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. For we are made partakers of Moshiach if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast unto the end. But I want to read something before I get too far into this, because we want to see what that situation was in Meribah. And we're going to go to, I believe it's Exodus, Shemot, the 17th chapter. Let's turn there, family. Hey, Shabbat Shalom, family. We're going to go to Shemot, Exodus, the 17th chapter, because we want to know what our forefathers did, because we will want to be like our forefathers.
Right.
Shabbat Shalom, my key. And all the congregation of the children of Israel journeyed from the wilderness of Sin after their journey, according to the commandment of Yahweh, and pitched in Rephidim, and there was no water for the people to drink. Wherefore the people did chide with Moses and said, give us water that we may drink. What does it mean to chide? To tease, to poke fun of, to annoy, to get under somebody's skin. That's what it means. Moses, get us some water. Moses, we need water. We thirsty out here. Moses, what, you're unable to give us water? You brought us out here to die? Huh? Now think about it. Think about what they're doing now. Wherefore the people did chide with Moses and said, give us water that we may drink. And Moshe said unto him, why chide ye with me? Wherefore do ye tempt Yahweh? Because basically now when you think about what they're saying is not just give us water. Basically the thing is you can't provide water for us. And that's why he's saying, wait a minute. And not just you can't provide water for us, neither can Yahweh provide water for us. Think about the mindset of our forefathers back then. Exodus, Shemot, Exodus 17:3. And the people thirsted there for water. And the people murmured against Moses and said, wherefore is this that thou hast brought us up out of Egypt? To kill us and our children and our cattle with thirst? And look at what Moshe did. And Moshe cried unto Yahweh, saying, what shall I do with this people? They be almost ready to stone me. And Yahweh said unto Moses, go on before the people, and take with thee of the elders of Israel, and thy rod, wherewith thou smotest the river, take in thine hand and go. And look at what Yahweh is telling me. Y'all out here, y'all getting all upset about not providing water. Have I failed you yet? So, Moses, you know what you're going to do? Because they know what rod you got. Take that rod that you took and you parted the sea with and use this same rod now to show these people that this rod ain't left from your hand. And if this rod ain't left from your hand, that it can still perform miracles. But all they had to do was have faith in him. So back to 17:5. And Yahweh said unto Moshe, go on before the people and take with thee the elders of Israel and thy rod, wherewith thou smotest the rebel. Take it in thy hand and go. Behold, I will stand before thee upon the rock in Horeb, and thou shalt smite the rock, and there shall come out water out of it, that the people may drink. And Moshe did so in the sight of Israel, of the elders of Israel. And he called the name of that place Massah and Meribah, because of the chiding of the children of Israel. And because they tempted Yahweh, saying, is Yahweh among us or not? Is Yahweh among us or not? But it doesn't stop there. Then came Amalek and fought with Israel in Rephidim. Now, what does Amalek mean, fam? Remember? The people gathered. Then came the gatherings of people and fought with Israel and Rephidim. And Moses said unto Yahushua, choose us out men and go fight with Amalek tomorrow. Now, they're not a warrior nation yet. Remember, they didn't become a warrior nation till far after this. But even before sometimes you become a warrior, a seasoned warrior, you got to fight. And Moses said back to 17:9, said unto Yahushua, choose us out men and go out. Fight with Amalek tomorrow. I will stand on the top of the hill with the rod of Yah in my hand. So Yahushua did as Moshe had said to him, and fought with Amalek. And Moshe and Aharon and Hur went to the top of the hill. And it came to pass that when Moses held up his hand, that Israel prevailed. And when he let down his hand, Amalek prevailed. But Moshe's hands were heavy, and they took a stone and put it under him, and he sat thereon. And Aharon and Hur stayed up his hands, the one on the one side and the other on the other side, and his hands were steady until the going down of the sun. Do y'all remember Gershom Ben Daniel's teaching on that way back when at 814 Collinson? Do you remember the demonstration that he gave? Can a sister speak? Do you remember? Do you remember? What demonstration did he give?
Vaguely.
I
remember.
Okay. Just nod your head if my recollection is correct. At that time, we had Yaka'el on one side, right? And we had Brother Steve on the other side, right? And Gershom Ben Daniel got in the middle, right? He took his rod up, right? And he sat down in the chair, right? And he said, "You come hold my hand up on this side." He said, "You come hold my hand up on this side," right? And he said, "Don't let my hands go down now." He said, but he held it up long enough and said, "Wait until my hands start to get tired." And as he was teaching, his hands started to get tired. And he told you, hold one hand up. He told you to demonstrate what it was. And what did he say? Do you remember the lesson behind that?
Vaguely.
Okay. The lesson behind that was that we had to support the leader. All right? Because as long as the leader stands, as long as Moshe stood, Israel prevailed. As long as Moshe kept his hands up, Israel prevailed. But once his hand went down, Israel didn't prevail. So it took Aharon on one side and Hur on the other side to hold Moshe's hands up so that Israel would prevail. But who was doing the fighting? Do you remember? Because then he went into who was doing the fighting. But hold on, we're going to go there. 17:12. But Moshe's hands were heavy, that they took a stone and put it under him, and he sat there. So remember, now initially he's standing up, his legs getting weary. He's holding this thing up, his legs are getting tired. First thing, they put a stone for him to sit down on, but he still got to keep his hands up. He didn't say his legs didn't go down, but his hands had to stay up. Okay? And they took a stone and put it under him, and he sat there on it. Aharon and Hur stayed up his hand, the one on the one side and the other on the other side, and his hands were steady until the going down of the sun. 17:13. This is the part right here. And Yahushua discomfited Amalek and his people with the edge of the sword. So that means even before they went into the promised land, Yahushua was already mighty with the sword. Think about when he says, "I don't come to bring peace," even from before they went on the other side, and even before he was manifested thousands of years later, Yahushua was always known for wielding that sword. Before King David, before Shaul, before King David, he was fighting wars. His sword was drenched with blood. You feel me? But Yahushua, 17:13, discomfited Amalek and his people with the edge of the sword. And Yahweh said unto Moshe, write this for a memorial in a book and rehearse it in the ears of Yahushua, for I will utterly put out the remembrance of Amalek from under heaven. And Moshe built an altar and called the name of it Yahweh Nissi. For he said, because Yahweh hath sworn that Yahweh will help me with Amalek from generation to generation. Back to Hebrews family. I think we're in the third chapter. I think I left off at 13 verse. But exhort one another daily, while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. For we are made partakers of Moshiach, if we hold in the beginning of our confidence steadfast unto the end. While it is said, today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your heart, as in the provocation. For some, when they had heard, did provoke. Howbeit, not all that came out of Egypt by Moshe, but with whom was he grieved for 40 years? Was it not with them that had sinned, whose carcasses fell in the wilderness, and to whom sware he that they should not enter into his rest, but to them that believed not? So we see that they could not enter into the rest, enter in because of unbelief. Hebrews 4:1. Let us therefore fear, lest as a promise being left us of entering into the rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. For unto us was the gospel preached, as well as unto them. But the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. Do we understand what he's saying then? That that word that was preached of that salvation was given to people prior to Yahushua coming. That's why he gave that example back there about Meribah, because the whole point of it was Yahweh is never unable to save. See what I'm saying? But because they didn't have faith in Yahweh, they weren't worthy of it. But we don't want to make ourselves unworthy as a result of not having faith that Yahweh can do whatever he wills to do to save his people, even the impossible. Because when you think of drawing water from a rock, you know, scientists will say, you know, I've watched these archaeologists say, well, he went to a particular rock that was close to a water fountain. No. He did this in the midst of a desert. And he struck a rock that no water should come out from. There was no source of water anywhere around. So all the scientific mumbo-jumbo that people like to come up with and try to use to debunk how things took place in the scripture, you know why? It's because they don't have faith mixed in, and it wasn't profitable for them. So back to 4:2. For unto us was the gospel preached as well as unto them, but the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. 4:3. For we which have believed do enter into rest, as he said, as I have sworn in my wrath, if they shall enter into my rest, all through the works were finished from the foundation of the world. For he spake in a certain place of the seventh day on this wise, and Yah did rest the seventh day from all his works. And in this place again, if ye shall enter into my rest, seeing therefore it remaineth that some must enter therein, and they to whom it was first preached entered not in because of unbelief. He's talking about our forefathers back then. 4:7. Again, he limiteth a certain day, saying in David, today, after so long a time, as it is said, today, if you will hear my voice, harden not your heart. And if anybody remembers that Psalm 85, when David goes into, as a matter of fact, let's read it. Let's go to Psalm 85. It's the 85th Psalm. Not that long. And it's to the chief musician. Oh, maybe I got it wrong. Oh, no, it's not 85. Hold on. Pardon me. Psalms 95. I should have checked my notes first. Psalms 95. Come let us sing to Yahweh. Let us make a shout to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before his face with thanksgiving. Let us make a shout to him with song. I'm going to go ahead and read the other two verses. That was verse 1 and 2. Oh, come and let us sing to Yahweh. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before his presence with thanksgiving and make a joyful noise unto him with psalms. For Yahweh is a great power and a great king above all mighty ones. In his hands are the depths, are the deep places of the earth, and the strength of the hills is his also. The sea is his, and he made it, and his hands formed the dry land. Oh, come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before Yahweh our maker, for he is our mighty one, and we are the people of his pasture and the sheep of his hands. Today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your heart, as in the provocation, as in the day of temptation in the wilderness, when your fathers tempted me, proved me, and saw my work. 40 years long was I grieved with this generation, and said, it is a people that do err in their heart, and they do not know my ways, unto whom I swore my wrath, that they should not enter into my rest. And that psalm actually is not a good thing, because it's really about the discontent of the people and the fact that some people are not worthy of by their own doing and are not deserving of by their lack of faith to achieve the salvation of Yahweh. You know, and unfortunately we're in this era where right now so much information is just being pumped and flooded to people that they're so caught up in information that we're forgetting some of the very simple things that Yahweh has provided for us.
Amen.
And like I personally see, you rarely hear any of these brothers that's out there that got these big YouTube followings ever really talk about this. Almost like if you talk about this to them, it's corny. You know, it's like, yeah, and so what? You know, it's like the New Testament, quote unquote New Testament, is constantly under fire to the point where you have people putting out videos that don't even read it. It's because nothing in it says, you know, for the word of Yahweh came unto me saying, wait a minute.
Yeah.
And it's sad because it's like you, as you have this one movement where so many of us are coming into this. So many people are receiving the invitation. It's almost like Yahweh now is flooding the world with flyers. Come know of me. Come see me. But while one person is doing that, you got the other person saying, oh, man, you don't want to go to that party. That party's whack. That party's played out. Don't nobody want to go to that party. Nobody want to hear that. And it's like when you think about what so many of us are clamoring to, what so many of us are having our ears inclined to. It's like what the scripture said, having itching ears. Everybody's ears want to itch. They want to hear something. They want to hear something deep. They want to hear something mystical. They want to hear something that's going to blow their mind and make them feel like, oh, wow, I ain't never seen that before. I never considered that before. But he's given us something very simple.
Amen.
And really has distilled it down that once you come into and you accept this invitation, really, this should be your primary focus, not gathering a whole bunch of information. Sure, there's a place for historical facts. Sure, there's a place for proof and reproof and study and all that. There's a place for all of that. But that can't be foreshadowed by what he calls the like just a simple understanding of him and the work that he's trying to do. It's like people are trying to make it just too complicated at this point, when it's really just simple. Really just simple.
Amen.
Accept Yahweh. Accept his son. And keep his commandments. He said in his word, love Yahweh with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your might. And love your brother as yourself.
Amen.
Why didn't he go through a whole diatribe? Well, first of all, you should really understand how the universe works. And after you understand how the universe works, you should understand how the human body works. Once you understand how the human, you should study biology, you should study psychology, you should study astrology, you should study astronomy, read all the books of the Apocrypha, know where the angels come from. After you know where the angels come from, then you have to understand how I made the angels. Then I want you to understand what Ein Sof is. I want you to understand what this is. I want you to understand. I want you to understand what the problem of ooze is. Make sure you understand the problem of ooze. He didn't say all of that.
Amen.
He said it very simple. Love Yahweh with all your heart, with all your might, with all your being. That means every part of your being, from the top of my boss head to this funky toe I got, should be focused on my relationship with Yahweh. And the byproduct of that is the relationship that I have with my brother. Simple. Last chapter. Let us therefore, Hebrews 4, therefore fear lest a promise be left us of entering into his rest, and any of you should seem to come short of it. Do we understand what he's saying there? The race is not for the swift, but him that endures to the end, the very same shall be saved. Because what is the promise? Salvation is the promise. That's the only. Abba helped me realize this in the showers this morning. That every day that he allows me to wake up, he has invested himself in me.
Amen.
Every day that he allows us to wake up and have life, that's his investment in you. And the hope that he gets out of that investment is that when you close your eyes, that you do the work that he needs you to do, so that when you close your eyes, you have salvation. But he says, for one, let us therefore fear lest a promise left of us entering into his rest, that Shabbat day, and we come into that point. You know what? Today, yesterday, and today reminded me of Sukkah. like the weather that we had yesterday with the rain, I was like, oh, Yahweh, you getting us ready. It was all nice and cool this morning, cold for some, cool for me. And it was just like, wow, this is pretty sucker weather. And the song came to me, sucker time is here, sucker time is here. We're getting ready for them fall feasts. Kind of fast, you know. And it just got me excited, feeling the weather kind of feel cool and just knowing that, you know, we're coming into the fall feast. And, if Sukkah falls away, we're projecting to fall, man, we're going to have 2 weekends out there, and it's just going to be awesome, awesome, awesome. Hallelujah. For unto us, 4:2 was preach. For unto us was the gospel preached as well as unto them. But the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. So they didn't have the faith to really understand the benefit that Yahushua coming and dying for our sins gave them. 4:3 For we which have believed do enter into rest, as he said, as I have sworn in my wrath, if they shall enter into my rest, although the works were finished from the foundation of the world. For he spake in a certain place of the seventh day on this wise. And Yah did rest the seventh day from all his work. And in this place again, if they shall enter into my rest, seeing therefore it remaineth that some must enter therein, and they to whom it was first preached entered not in because of unbelief. Do we understand what's being said here?
Amen.
People didn't understand what the Sabbath day meant. Simple. To put it in a very simple form, there's still people who don't understand what this Sabbath day means. And even when Yahushua said, they went to him and said, man, you're picking corn on Shabbat. He said, I'm the master of Shabbat.
Amen.
This is what he was talking about right here. So when this brother heard that saying, he's like, wait a minute, he the master of Shabbat. Oh, that perplexed them. How do you mean you the master of Shabbat? Well, guess what? Nobody's going to enter into what the Shabbat really means without accepting Yahushua HaMashiach.
Man.
So he can make that statement boldly because guess what? It was him that actually rested on Shabbat day.
Man.
See what I'm saying? Seeing therefore it remains that some 4:6 must enter therein, and they to whom it was first preached entered not in because of unbelief. So you mean that our ancestors weren't worthy of the rest that Yahweh has ordained to them from the foundation of the world? 4:7 Again, he limited a certain day, saying, in David, today, as after so long a time, as it is said, today, if you will hear my voice, harden not your hearts. For if Yahushua had given them rest, then would he not afterward have spoken of another day? And we read the example when Yahushua fought Amalek. They didn't have rest after he fought Amalek back there. Because we're still talking about the same situation and the same scenario. And when Yahushua fought Amalek, guess what? They still had to go into the promised land, which was supposed to be a precursor of the Shabbat. They still had to fight the Amorites, the Hittites, the Jebusites, the Girgashites. Who else are Ites? A whole lot of ice. They had to fight a whole lot of ice. Nations that were mighty and stronger than them. So that wasn't the Shabbat. This was not the Shabbat back then when Yahushua fought Amalek, and neither was the Shabbat when they entered into the promised land, because guess what? They didn't rest. And guess what? There's still another example, because some of their brothers decided not to go across into the promised land either. So we have an example from back then that there are those who are going to say, you know what? We're comfortable on this side.
Mm-hmm. Come on.
Hmm? You got a lot of people. Think about it. Because before, which tribe was it? I think it was Ephraim, right? Was it Ephraim decided not to cross over? Somebody decided not to cross over. Deuel's not here today, so, and the human concordance isn't here today for me to pick their brain. But one of them decided, I know one of them know for sure right off the top of their dome, that they decided, nah, we're not going over. So guess what? That's a message in that. You got brothers who really don't want this thing called salvation.
Man.
Brothers who are willing to keep the Torah. Brothers who are willing to keep the commandments. Brothers who are willing to uphold and say that they are of the nation of Israel. They are Hebrew Israelites. There was a tribe that said, we ain't going on that side. We good. We might fight with you if you go to war. No. As a matter of fact, they said, well, you still got to fight with us when they go to war. Because they weren't even trying to fight neither. They were going to stay on that side and not do nothing. They said, nah, y'all can stay on this side, but when it's time to go to war, y'all got to come fight with us. You see what I'm saying? But the thing is, they was comfortable where they was at. They was cool with it. I forgot what verse I was on. I think 7. Okay, again, he limited a certain day, saying in David, today, after so long time, as it is said, today, if you will hear my voice, harden not your hearts. For if Yahushua had given them rest, then he would have afterward have spoken of another day. There remaineth therefore a rest to the people of Yah. For he that is entered into this into his rest, he also hath ceased from his own works, and Yah did from his. Let us labor, therefore, to enter into the rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. Unbelief in what? That Yahushua is the Savior. For the word of Yah is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit. Don't worry about him who could join, who could destroy the flesh. Worry about him who could destroy the flesh and the soul, the body and the soul, he said. Huh? Even dividing asunder of the soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is the discerner of thoughts and intents of heart. You see where he started and where he ended up? He's letting you know. Yahweh, in the midst of all of that, he can discern the thoughts and the intents of your heart. 4:13. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight, but all things are naked and opened unto his eyes, of whom, of with whom he hath to do. 4:14. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Yahushua, the Son of Yah, let us hold fast our profession, for we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need.
Amen.
And that's it for reading from the Hebrews, fam. And I want to end with this. When we read 1 Corinthians 12, we're going to start in Corinthians 12. He says, now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. Ye know that ye are Gentiles, carried away unto the dumb idols, even as ye were led. Wherefore I give you to understand that no man speaking in the spirit of Yah calleth Yahushua a curse, and that no man can say Yahushua is master but by the Holy Spirit. Now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are differences of administration, but the same Master. And there are diversities of operations, but in the same power which worketh in all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, and to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit. To another faith by the same Spirit. To another the gifts of healing by the same Spirit. To another the working of miracles. To another prophecy. To another discerning of spirits. To another diverse kinds of tongues, and to another the interpretation of tongues. But all these worketh the one and the selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man severally as his will.
Amen.
For as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that body, being many, are one body, also is Moshiach. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into the body, whether we be Yehudi or the Goyim or the Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and we have been all made to drink into one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. Do we understand what he's saying there?
Amen.
Okay, this body, right, this whole piece, got this, toes,
amen,
you know, all kinds of different parts. You know, these are the obvious parts of us, right?
Mm-hmm.
But it's all one thing. But we inside here, we got a brain,
amen,
we got eyes, we got a tongue, we got a
esophagus, we got all these internal parts. All of this functions as one unit, even
Amen.
Though the eye can't do what the heart does. You definitely don't want to go in for a transplant and the man come up with an eyeball when you need a heart transplant
Amen.
Or a heart when you need a kidney, because they're not going to work, even though they're internal organs. This is the point that he's trying to make. This all, this whole thing that we got a body, got so many different parts to it, but it all has to operate in unison. It all has to operate
Amen.
As one. For the body is not one member, but many. If the foot shall say, because I am not the hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? Do you understand what he's saying there? Okay. And if the ear shall say, because I am not the eye, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? And, you know, he's really trying to bring, like, the ridiculousness of that whole notion as when we're a part of a congregation that, how are you going to say, you know, if you are part of the member of the body of Mashiach, if you are baptized into the body of Mashiach,
mm-hmm.
and you have a function, you have a purpose in this unity here, that you can't say, I'm separate from the rest of y'all because of whatever gift that Abba has given me. That's what he's trying to say here. And if the ear shall say, because I am not the eye, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? He's saying it's a ridiculous notion. It's almost like if your ear wants to do its own thing, I'm going to just listen to what I want to listen to. The right ear say that, and the left ear say, I'm going to listen to what I want to listen to. And the right eye want to say, well, I'm going to just watch football. And the left eye say, well, I can only watch baseball. Or something ridiculous like that is what he's saying. If the whole body were now, where would be the hearing? Oh, I'm sorry. Back to 2:16. And if the ear shall say, because I'm not the eye, I'm not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, wherewith the hearing? If the whole were hearing, wherewith the smelling? But now hath Yah set the members, every one of them, in the body as it hath pleased him. And if they were all one member, wherewith the body? But now are there many members, yet but one body. And the eye cannot say unto the hand, I have no need of thee, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. Nay, much more those members of the body which seem to be more feeble are necessary. And those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, upon these we bestow more abundant honor, and our uncomely parts have more abundant comeliness. Do we understand what he's saying? You know, there are even parts of our body that we use to do things that we think of as to be less comely or less honorable. But guess what? I work in an institution where people have difficulty with doing some of the simple things
Amen.
That I take for granted every day.
Amen.
Being able to relieve myself. There
Amen.
Are literally people who cannot do that.
Amen.
And it causes them discomfort mm-hmm. in the whole body.
Amen.
When something like that doesn't happen, do we understand what he's saying? Because he's talking about every member of the congregation being one unit,
Amen.
And sometimes, you know, we get caught up in the prestige of maybe one thing. When guess what, the body is made up of all these parts, from the top of the head to the bottom of the feet, and they all have value to the whole unit of the body. Because at any point one of them doesn't function properly, we experience what is called dis-ease. 12:24. For our comely parts have no need, but Yah hath tempted the body together, having given more abundant honor to that part which lacked, that there should be no schism in the body, that the members should have the same care one for another, whether one member suffer. And whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with it. Or when one member be honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now, we are the body. Think about it. Keep giving examples. Think about somebody who runs track,
mm-hmm.
you know. And let's just say, for instance, you ever see a person who has no sight run around track? No. They can be led around the track, or they might have some aid, but that person who is a whole person who wins that race, or let's say they find a way to have that person not win the race, they don't just say, well, because your legs won the race, we're going to reward your legs. Do they ever do that? Oh, man, Usain Bolt, Do they just say, hey, we're going to give this trophy to Usain Bolt, to your legs? No, they give him a trophy that even though his legs won it, his hands hold it up, right or wrong. Yeah. See what I'm saying? So he's saying the whole body gets the honor, even though maybe one part may be doing a part of the work.
Man.
I hope that's clear.
Mm-hmm.
And whether one member suffered, 1226, all the members suffer with it. So, same example. That person running that track, let's say they doing hurdles. They miss that hurdle, trip, stumble, fall, get messed up, scrape their arm. And as a result of scraping their arm, they're unable to run properly. Guess what happens? Because now the arm isn't functioning properly, you can't run hurdles with a broken arm. You can't run track with a broken arm, even though it requires your legs and your feet to do it. So he's saying if one person hurts, guess what? That person who runs track, if they break their arm, even though it's a leg-engaged activity, then the whole body got to sit out.
Man.
You see what I'm saying? So that the whole body is not going to get the reward for what just one part of the body would do. I hope it's being clear. He said, 1227, now ye are the body of Moshiach and members in particular, and Yah have set some in the congregation. First, those who are sent out, apostles. Secondarily, prophets, those who bring forth, who house the seed. Thirdly, teachers. And after the miracles, then gifts of healing, helps, governments, diversities of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Are all workers of miracles? Have all the gifts of healing? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret it? But covet earnestly the best gifts, and yet show I unto you a more excellent way. So he's saying, you know, when you think about it, people, there's so, what he's basically saying is there's so much work to do in the house of Yahweh. Don't get caught up in doing one particular activity.
Amen.
Don't think because you may not teach or whatever, or you may not sing, or that you don't have a voice for singing, that there isn't work to be done for the house of Yahweh. If we understand how the body works and we understand how a house works, you can't move into a house when they just put the frame up. As a matter of fact, they can lay the foundation. You can't move into a house with just a foundation. Then let's say they put up the study. You can't move into a house that just has study and the foundation. Let's say now they put the walls up. You can't move into a house that just has the walls and stuff. They got to put the roof on. They got to put the wiring in. The way we live now, there's a whole lot of components to a home to give us those creature comforts. If you live in an area where it's hot, you want some AC. If you live in an area where it's cold, you want some heat. That all makes up the whole house unit. Guess what? When the hot water heater went in my house the other day, ain't nothing worse, even on the hottest day. And Yahweh was merciful that the hot water heater went up when we had that heat bubble. Taking a cold shower, even on the hottest days, was not comfortable. And I couldn't wait. I got mad when that man said, you come in at 12, and it was 12 o'clock, and he ain't arrived. Me and my wife was on the horn. You said you was going to be here at 12. We want to take a shower. We literally told him we want to take a hot shower, and we're going to take a hot shower today. And this was in the midst of the heat wave. That's how important that little insignificant hot water heater was, and once it went up. So do you understand? Okay, so now, but covenant, 1231, but covenant earnestly the best gifts, and yet show I unto you a more excellent way. 13, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, and have not charity, have not love, I am become as a sounding brass and a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I can remove mountains, and have not charity, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. Charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up. Doth not behave itself unseemly. Seeketh not her own. Is not easily provoked. Thinketh no evil. Rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in truth. Beareth all things. Believeth all things. Hopeth all things. And endureth all things. What does that mean right there? when it says beareth all things, believeth all things, and hopeth all things, endureth all things, it's talking about what we do for one another and what we do for Yah.
Mm-hmm.
That we bear, sometimes we've got to bear Yah too, the same way he bears us. Because guess what? We live in a world that lacks faith in Yah. So how are we going to show forth this unyielding, this unwavering faith in the world if we're not upholding Yah? Because let's be truthful. Yes, he gives us life every day. Yes, every day is a miracle. But as far as what the world wants to see, to show forth that power and that might, they ain't seeing that. They ain't receiving that.
Mm-hmm.
So how is it that we are going to hold that up and bear throughout all this stuff, tribulation that's going to come, like what our forefathers went through? We've got to be able to bear that. We've got to be able to hold on to our belief through that. We've got to be able to hold on to hope through that. We've got to be able to endure through all of that with Yahweh and with one another. 13:8, charity never fails, but whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. There's going to come to an end. The prophetic word is finite. At some point, prophecies have to be fulfilled, and when those prophecies are fulfilled, guess what? That word is done.
Amen. Ooh,
put it up into the archives. That's what Yahweh does with it, okay? So he says, but whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. They're going to come to a point, they're no need. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Guess what? They're going to come to a point where he's going to bring us back, and I believe it is the book of Amos that says that he's going to return to humanity a pure language. We're going to get back to that point where we're going to be speaking one singular language that we understand what Yahweh is saying and that the whole world understands what each other is saying. It's going to be all this stuff. He's going to reverse all what was done back then. Charity never fails, but whether there be prophecy, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. Because guess what? When it talks about he's going to be all and in all, there's not going to be no mysteries to science. There's not going to be no mysteries as to what his will is. All of that is for this side and for this reality. And for when he comes back and he sets everything in order, there's going to be no question and no doubt as to what the truth is and as to what his will is, because he's going to make it known, because he's going to tell us himself. So we know in part, 12:9, and we prophesy in part. Okay, it's back to what I said earlier. But when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. When I was a child, I spake as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. For now we see through a glass, darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know, even also I am known. And now abideth faith, hope, charity. These three, but the greatest of these is charity / love. Family. Yeah. Shalom.
Cool.
Yes. Those three tribes are Gad, Reuben, and the half tribe of Manasseh.
Todah. Hallelujah. They didn't want to go over. But, so, I thought it was just one tribe. My memory failed me. Told her. So, it was more tribes, huh? Hallelujah. Any other thoughts, comments, questions? All right. Shalom, family. Shalom, shalom, shalom. Okay.
Blessed are you, Yahweh, King of the universe, Rock of all eternities, righteous in all generations, the trustworthy mighty one who says and does, who speaks and fulfills, all of whose words are true and righteous. Trustworthy are you, Yahweh, our mighty one, and trustworthy are your words. Not one of your words is turned back to its origin unfulfilled. For you are mighty, trustworthy, and compassionate King. Blessed are you, Yahweh, the mighty one who is trustworthy in all his words. Amen.
Amen.
Brother Mike,
we close this
up. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Heavenly Father, we gather before you today just thanking you for another Sabbath. Thank you for the breath of life.
Amen.
We're going to stop just bringing us here safe, Father. Just pray for those in route. We just thank you, Father, for the word that came forth this day, Father. May it take root in our hearts, Father, that we may believe on your Son, believe in your word, Father. Just thank you, Father, for the rest of this day. Just ask you, Father, to send your anointing to your lessons related to this meeting this afternoon. And we just thank you, Father, for the words in advance. Just hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Amen.
Amen.
You're my closest friend. You're better to Rance than I am to myself. Yeah.